This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the story that leads today's show are as follows. A podcast awards update. Samsung gear pricing. Domino's. Is anyone home? Best Windows browser by category. And a pending Siri announcement at WWDC. And a lot more. Of course, plus all the news of today, I want to welcome you to episode 1000. What is the, I think I actually typed the number wrong. 1,196 of the Geek News Center podcast for Monday, May 1st. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Of course, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply just PayPal.me/Geek News. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for allowing me to go to NAB and kind of have a week off, but back at it hot and heavy, and we will take the show to all the way to 1200 in the next couple of weeks here. So it's exciting to do that. Don't forget, we've got a contest going. If you've been listening to a previous edition of the show, you will know what the contest is. So keep listening to the show, and we'll be announcing some more contests as we move forward. Hey, if you are brand new to this show, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast, and I want to make sure that you take just a moment to get over to geeknewscentral.com and basically get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do. Right on the right-hand column of the website, you can subscribe via iTunes or Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, an old school and RSS feed. Of course, a little bit further down the page, you can get subscribed to the newsletter as well. The newsletter is where I send out an announcement. Basically, it's a link to every piece of content that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight, including whatever little show notes I put at the top. Same thing that goes in the blog post, essentially, but you get it in your inbox reminding you that there is a new show on the street. Of course, we want you to provide feedback, and really easy to do that is just send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can join our Slack chat room, which has been a little bit more lively the last couple of days, by sending me an email. Let me know what you want to be in the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Watch this show on the Roku, via the Tech Podcast channel, or on Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or view at blueberry.com, or you can tell your Google Home device, okay, the device, play the podcast Geek News Central. Of course, we want to thank our partner shows here, which would include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, and he's starting to put up some of his NAB content. Of course, a reminder that our Pro Gear site was pretty active at progear.guru, and of course, the Podcast Legend Show with the recent interview of the Podfather himself, Mr. Adam Curry. So lots to consume, and I'll be back here with you, you know, just rocking hard over the next couple of weeks. No travel is planned, so you've got me for the foreseeable future. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor. This show is fully supported and fully sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy. You can find out more about our offers at GoDaddy by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and when you're over there, you'll find all of my codes on the page. That way you can save the most just by linking or clicking on the link or using the code at checkout at GoDaddy, whether it be 30% off new product purchases, 99cent.com, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, whether it's $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, or that just 1 month free trial GoDaddy website builder. And that's all available as you can get connected. Now, you know, GoDaddy has lots of products and services. We want you to take advantage of those. Use that 30% off new product purchase code as much as you can. But Mother's Day is coming up. What are you getting your mom? Have you already got her domain name? Have you set up a website for her? that may have a montage of pictures from over the years? What are you getting, Mom? And, you know, hey, a domain name and a website is a cool way to go. And guess what? For $12, you're still going to have to buy flowers. You're still going to have to buy dinner. All right. That's two givens, right? But you can give the gift of a GoDaddy website. And that's just an idea for you. Just a little hint, little something kind of unique. Maybe Mom is into that. So, you know, maybe you have to go with something more traditional with some perfume or something like that. But don't forget your mom's. And make an excuse to pick up a product, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, I am absolutely just thrilled to be back in the studio. I had a absolutely fantastic trip. Just to kind of recap, I flew out Friday night, landed in Vegas on Saturday, a week ago Saturday. Had meetings in the afternoon immediately. Sunday, full day of meetings. Mike Dell flew in. He's the my lead support guy at Raw Voice, and him and I chummed around. And then, I had meetings up until like 8. Something really strange just happened. I'm looking out my window here at the studio. My neighbors never turn off their upstairs light. It's a light that's always on. It just blinked off. It's kind of spooky. I wonder if they're watching. So Mike got in Sunday, and then we chummed around Sunday evening. Monday morning hit the show hard. Really traversed the entire show, and I had a few places, about a dozen vendors I wanted to meet with, but it became very apparent very early on that really the story that I thought was the story of the show was something I've been waiting more than a year to hear. And for those of you that watch this show and maybe have heard about me talk about this before, you will kind of get clued in on what it is. But, you know, we run the show here on a TriCaster, right? And the TriCaster's cool. I can change different camera angles. I can bring in Skype callers. I can bring in the screen. Really, it's a very versatile machine, and I only use a little itty-bitty portion of its complete power. Just because I'm a one-man show, can't roll CGI here, you know, all this extra stuff that I want to do, it's very, very difficult to do when you're the only one switching. But NDI, what NDI is, it's a protocol that allows video to basically be sent over an IP connection. You need a high-speed one. 100 megs or more. Here at the house, I have a 1 gig network, and it allows you to. And what it was originally designed is that they made it open protocol. So if I had a TriCaster here in the studio and a TriCaster in the TriCaster in the garage without any cables, except for an internet connection or a network connection, could see all the cameras here in the studio. So someone could actually switch and run the show from the garage on another TriCaster with just this one being turned on. Or you could have some cameras in the garage and have a green screen set up in here or green screen set up there and do remotes and do all kinds of cool stuff. So basically makes all of the video feeds available across your network. And what I was waiting for is I also have Livestream. I also have Wirecast. Both of those companies announced that NDI is going to be incorporated into Wirecast and into, or it already has been announced, into Livestream. So if I have a Wirecast set up in the garage, the Wirecast system can see all my video feeds from my TriCaster and vice versa. It is going to change everything. And I was talking about with my son, and he said, "So, Dad, does that mean we can run a LAN cable out across to the neighbor's house or their yard and basically have this?" I said, "No, better yet, Dad found a wireless system that'll allow you to do HD, 1080p at 60 frames per second via a wireless system at 5 gigahertz or 5,000 megahertz that allows you within 1,200 feet to stream audio and video back. I said, you can do that if we buy it. So he was, you know, he's coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas. He'll do a little show in the garage, and he can have a friend in here that could be a remote. We could set up a green screen, and he can set up whatever background he wants. So it really allows anyone that has a studio and multiple pieces of software equipment that are primarily used today in live streaming to interconnect with other systems. So it's going to be glorious, because I've got a Wirecast system in a Mac Mini down here that I've rarely used. So we're going to take that along with a couple of cameras that I have extra here, HDMI cameras, and we're going to set up a Wirecast system in the garage, and he's going to be able to do what he wants to do, use the cameras in here for whatever remotes. It's really exciting. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. People are coming out with devices where you'll be able to plug an HDMI camera into the device, have it plugged into a LAN cable, and have that like hanging out in a different location. It's really huge on where this is headed. Tie into software, into to CG systems. The list goes on. Adobe's supporting it. So really, for me, the crux of the show was the expansion of the NDI protocol, which is even going to Blackmagic boxes and everything. Everyone's getting on the bandwagon here. So that's huge. Now, of course, audio over IP continues to grow. Mike Dell and I were talking about it today on your podcast that we released this morning at powerpresspodcast.com. We were talking about audio over IP. The boxes are getting to the point where they're relatively inexpensive now. So him and I were saying, okay, so if you're where you're at in Michigan and I'm here and we've got a good internet connection between us, can we do audio over IP using this tech that we looked at the show? So we're going to be investigating that. We've been using Skype. It's been working fine, but we kind of like to be able to, you know, test solutions. And so we may be playing with that. So, especially if the audio goes up a notch, and if it does, that'll be, even more important. So that kind of wraps up, you know, and you saw some of the stuff on the live blog I had, and I've got actually some more pictures to put up there. So there's the last day pictures I need to shove onto it. I had two sessions on Wednesday where I spoke along with some other podcasting folks. And then I did an interview with Luria, the former Callie Lewis, on her show that she was doing at the live stream booth. Was on with her for about 15 minutes. This young woman was doing 8 to 10 hours a day with a new guest every 15 minutes all by herself. And I was on her show on day 3, and she was already, I could tell, boing, 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 boing. It is not good to do that long on the air with one person. You just can't stay sharp. I don't know how she did it. She probably went to the hotel room at the end of the day and just face planted. Because we found all these years doing live from CES, and because number one, you're already doing after hour stuff, you're tired, you're not drinking enough water, there's just all these factors, and it's Vegas, and you've got the time space continuum from getting point A to point B. It's a madhouse. So 2 to 3 hours live is about all you can be and be really sharp. Anything after that, it just kind of becomes a blur. So I could tell, and I was 1:30, 1:45 on Wednesday. She still had like 3 hours to go. Sheer insanity. I just don't know how she did it. But anyway, so Thursday, a little more easy. Did leave a little more money in Vegas this time than I brought home. Not bad. The craps tables were absolutely horrendous. I was winning on blackjack and then taking the money over to the craps table and losing it. And so I was down a little bit, but I quit playing. My last 2 days there, I stopped because it just, you know, every time I went to the craps table, they were throwing a 7. It just, you know, that 7 was like, oh my God. If I had played the don't pass line, I'd have come home with $5,000 because they were surely throwing the 7 a lot. So anyway, that's what's going on. But good news, and before we get into the regular show content here tonight, and a little late start, my son had soccer. That's almost over. I think we got one more game. So school ends here on May 31st. So we get out a little bit early than those of you in the lower 48, or the mainland, as we like to say. So he got his announcement from the high school that he's been picked up to be in the MiniMac program. He is very jazzed, so I am going to have a fully trained. By the time he gets out of high school, he's going to be, I shouldn't say I, he is going to be a fully trained videographer to be able to do shorts, do public service pieces, do a medium-length film feature, you name it, plus all the software editing. I'm totally jazz for him, and he is on cloud nine, so I'm very, very excited that he got picked up for that. And it's very hard to get into. They pick like 40 kids with a huge number of kids that apply every year. So he's very, very excited, and I'm very happy for him. And that news came in, the acceptance letter came while I was on travel, and we had a call and kind of celebrated together. And the only challenge is it's partially a lottery too, because he's going to a school outside our district. So he had to get through the lottery first and then get picked for the program. And, so there's some of his classmates are not moving on to high school in the same high school he's at. So I've told him, curb your enthusiasm at school. To keep in mind, you be humble, be happy, but be humble, because there are classmates of yours that are not moving to the high school that you're going to, and they either have to go back to their home district or try for another high school in the area. So he took that on board, and I've kind of re-emphasized that a couple of times. And, but the majority, I think the majority of his close friends got moved over, so I'm excited that's going to happen for him for high school. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on. I get you guys caught up here on what's happening in Ohana land. Again, a warm welcome to the Ohana. Thanks for being here. And I got a great show lined up for you tonight. First things first, I want to talk about, I launched the new Podcast Awards website this morning, and I want to thank the team over at One Technologies who's been with me from the get-go, that has, helping us manage the site for all these years. They took on the job of the rebuild. And we're running, believe it or not, on Joomla. And I was a little bit hesitant to allow them to do the dev in Joomla. And it was largely because, I've done stuff in Joomla in the past, and it's very unwieldy. It's a content management system that's very powerful, but it's very unwieldy. But they explained to me they were going to be able to use a lot of modules, a lot of things that were built, and it was going to help keep the dev costs down. Now the bill is still coming in right around $5,000, I'd say we're at about a 75% solution for the new site. But I'm excited where we're at and announce the new rules. Of course, the sponsorship stuff is now open. It's mobile ready. So we'll see where this leads. What's kind of funny is that the group last year that caused so much controversy, their supporters are already kind of talking about it and poo-pooing some of the stuff. But the rules changes we made I'm hoping, will be a long-term solution to preventing some of the shenanigans that have been pulled over the last couple of years. There's no guarantee, but the main thing is I wanted everyone that registered and then had their audience come in and nominate their shows to have an equal opportunity to make the slate and then have a potential winning. So the daily voting is gone. The biggest change was we're going to have 50 people that a team of three of mine are going to pick, 50 random registered podcasters are going to get to vote, and 250 random listeners are going to get to vote, with a grand total of 350 people voting for the 21 shows in the 21 categories. So that is the goal, and we hope to get enough sponsors and shows that are going to register that we will be able to you know, have trophies again this year. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't. But again, the site's up. It's ready. It's again running on the Joomla back end. So I'm pretty pleased with where we're at. And, you know, the main thing is I can edit the site now easily. I don't have to be uploading stuff. And I can add sponsors real easy. And I think it's going to be a good change, you know, from a design standpoint. And it's mobile ready too. And that was important to me. So anyway, we'll keep you advised on how that goes. But I'll be talking a great deal more about the podcast awards on the New Media Show this coming Saturday. So, but the main thing, again, was to level the playing field so that every podcaster that registers and then has their audience nominate have a fighting chance to win a category. It could end up, and if I was a podcaster, just be aware that there's probably going to be groups that will have 22 shows teamed up to try to win this thing again. Will anything be perfect? I don't know, but we also put some rules in that talk about the spirit of the podcast awards, and that was the main thing. Reserve the right to disqualify anyone that disparages or mocks or, you know, because really the group last year that won the majority of the shows and won the majority of the categories, they were all laughing and mocking what was going on. And hope that's, we'll have a repeat of that in the future. And changing everything up, even from the awards ceremony as well. They're going to have to submit their videos. And so it'll be a more controlled experience. And while at the same time maintaining the mantra of being people's choice, where listeners will get to vote for their for the shows that have made the slate from the nomination process. But again, shows have to register. And again, it's not a money grab. The registration money this year will finish paying off the bill for the dev and pay for the trophies. We've never made money with the podcast awards. Matter of fact, it's usually a tax deduction because we are always end up in the hole. But the main thing was to spend that, you know, get that GoFundMe money that we raised last year and get that spent. And be putting accounting up on the website when I get my invoices from them, and so that people can see exactly where we're at dollar-wise anyway. Okay, so let me go ahead and just start into the full tech stuff. First things first is I want to talk about Android, specifically Samsung Gear, and some pricing that is out that is kind of remarkable. You can now buy the Samsung Gear S3 smartwatch for under $300. And I've got some news today that's going to talk about, you know, some of the things that we're finding and some of the things that are happening. And what if I got an ad trying to pop up here? Yeah, we got a Best Buy ad that's popping up. I've got some stories about what's happening in the watchware space, specifically some stuff going on with Apple. But for the first, you know, initially, we're going to, you know, Flash. I think I'm just about done. I talked about this on the last show. I'm just about done using Firefox because some pages are just ridiculous. Continue. Oh, I swear to God. And it's all updated, but when I'm running the, and I guess what I'm going to do is put a, ad blocker on Firefox, because it just sits here and it freezes. And finally, it's opening up now. Yes, Adobe has crashed. Yes, I understand that. Let me get rid of that tab. And it's just some sites that do it that really cause Firefox to choke on itself. But anyway, this those Samsung S3 smartwatches, $299. So pretty good deal. They're available to be purchased now. At the beginning of the show, I kind of talked a little bit about Domino's. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't had a Domino's pizza in a long time. And maybe I had some at someone's place, but typically if we order pizza, we usually go to Costco and get one of their pizzas. You know, $10 pizza, we get Papa John's on a deal Wednesday, or, you know, it's, but I typically don't get Domino's here. But Domino's and are really kind of going to the extreme. Domino's has already enabled people to track their location of their pizzas. It comes from the shop to their home. But that's not enough for the company, which has teamed up with IFTTT to connect to the platform to your smart home. Yes, it's a publicity stunt, although it's one that has a couple of useful applications if you're rocking a sufficiently futuristic home. One of the applications for Domino's branded applets involves turning on your home porch lights when the delivery person is near. Another is letting the system deactivate your sprinkler system to avoid any pizza splash incidents that would ruin your evening. Then there's the ability to activate specific Samsung smart vacuums to clean your carpets before your dinner arrives. So the IFTTT coalition is working with Domino's to, you know, enable some of this stuff in the app. Now, having delivered pizza during a period of my life when I was expecting my first child, actually second child, let me just say, leaving your porch light on is an important thing, but it would be cool driving down the street and getting close to your house, all of a sudden your porch light turned on, giving me the indication today, there's the house. That's kind of a cool feature for a driver, but kind of unnerving as a homeowner. But that's what Domino's is doing and trying to integrate with your smart home and your smart devices. I'm starting to get more articles from MakeUseOf.com. And the recent one that attracted the attention today of Kirk, my assistant here, who is the executive producer of this show. And again, great job to Kirk for his show prep tonight. And because I was completely slammed. So tonight's show is almost entirely produced by articles that he recommended. Although I had to cut down about 25% of them because he really found a lot of stuff. But the best Windows web browsers by category. And so if you're looking to save on resources, the lowest RAM usage is something called Green Browser. Never heard about this. And but anyway, that's the browser that they're recommending has the lowest amount of RAM utilization. Of course, they do have some tips on how to control Google Chrome's memory usage as well. But best bet on battery, the best browser on battery is Microsoft Edge. Best of security, they really didn't recommend a specific browser, but they did say that Tor, the most private browser, is Tor. It's absolutely focused on protecting users' privacy. And then it also talks about best for the one that's actually that they rated best for security would be Chrome, and then with some honorable mentions. And so they reviewed, they reviewed Safari, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Chrome, and this other browser called the Green Browser. And so anyway, this is a link. If you're looking for some alternative browser, this is some opportunities. The fastest was one called SlimJet, which is interesting. Best tab manager for a browser was from Vivaldi, V-I-V-A-L-D-I, which is kind of curious. But anyway, good article on browser comparisons. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out tonight at geekandcentral.com. The WWDC is coming, and there's some speculation that Apple could announce its rival to Amazon Echo at the developer conference in June. Noted Apple analyst Ming-Chi Kuo made the prediction via 9to5 Mac, stating that the product will be a high-end speaker with built-in Siri. Apple will reportedly market the device as having superior sound quality and computing power to the Echo and Google Home, with the product set to sell for a similarly premium price tag, so probably $299. Kuo predicts the Siri speaker will go on sale before the end of the year. He's not certain it will be announced at WWDC, but he says it's coming. This could be the, oh, by the way, we have one more thing type of announcement at WWDC. So would you buy a Siri-enabled speaker like you do now for your Echo or your Echo or your Google Home? Would you have either one of those? If you're an Apple guy, would you buy Siri to replace? I don't know. I guess we'll have to see where it leads. Everyone right now, and we're moving on to a new topic here, is getting into the car sharing business. If you have a AAA membership, a lot of people do for towing, but you know, my car insurance has a towing plan, so I've never really had a AAA membership. But their launching is called Gig. Gig will be similar in terms of service like Enterprise Car Share or Zipcar, where users rent cars via an accompanying app. The rates start at $2.50 per mile or $15 per hour. Or if you want a car for long term, you'll be paying up to $85 a day. However, the difference in Gig's models is you won't have to return the car to a designated spot. Instead, what has happened is that Gig has made a deal with the host cities that it operates in, where the user can drop off their cars at any metered parking spots or public parking space, which means that you won't need to make a detour when you end your trip. The service will be launching in Berkeley and Oakland with plans to eventually expand to San Francisco. Again, high-density markets where there's lots of students that can use this. But let's be honest, $85 per day, $2.50 a mile, you can rent a compact vehicle. You know, when I was in Vegas, I rented a compact car, unlimited mileage. And for the time I was there, it was like after taxes, like $29, $30 a day. So it was very inexpensive to rent the car there. There's some cities are more expensive, obviously, to rent than others. Chicago is a pretty high rent area. But this doesn't make sense for a lot of markets. $85, you can get a pretty nice vehicle, a luxury vehicle, at $85 from most rental companies out there. So we'll see if this makes any headway on where it heads. The FCC continues to be in the news, and the register at theregister.co.uk is asking, why is the FCC boss being such a jerk? Well, the FCC boss is now really stepping the game up and reversing things from the previous administration. Title II is the big one right now, where internet service providers are going to essentially be rolled back from considered Title II. And it's all about net neutrality and everything else, and Verizon being rolled back from being considered Title II. It's just going to continue to get ugly. And there is some pushback in some cities. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we'll see how the landscape changes over the next few years with all these rule changes. But it can't be good. You've got Verizon already chomping the bit to be able to do, fast lanes. They're already talking about it. And, that was one thing that Title II and net neutrality was supposed to protect. And it's not. It's all being reversed. So the folks over at the Register have a pretty good hit piece on him. How many of you park your car and forget where you park it? My problem was I couldn't remember what floor in the parking garage I parked the vehicle. I usually was basically valeting the vehicle. But I was trying to save a little bit on my budget and, you know, not having to give the valet $2-3 a day, you know, when he brought the car. You know, I know, yes, I'm cheap, but, you know, $2-3 over 7 days, you know, that's a few drinks. So I was parking the car in the garage, and then my biggest problem was I on the second floor, third floor, fourth floor of the parking garage, and there was a couple of times I got off on the wrong floor. But if you want to use your Android or your Google Map application, you can now, it'll remember where you parked your vehicle. And for Android users in Google Maps, tap the blue dot and say, and click Save Your Parking to add where you're, to add your parking location to the map. And it'll get you within 36 inches. So that way you can remember. And you can also put in what time your meter's going to expire so that you have the countdown clock going to basically tell you when you need to come back before you get a ticket. It's got the ability to explore nearby, share your location. You can download, so you can look at the what's in the area offline if you go into a building and you lose service. So that's something cool that you can use with Google Maps on your Android or on your iOS device. Also, Google has announced some changes to their search results, and they're now looking at a being able to look at the rating guidelines. Basically, if you're going to a web page, they've got the ability now for you to rate the page that you're on, and that's something that each person that has a website has to implement some special code on there so you can do, so people can rate when they visit your pages. There's some ranking changes that are going on. I need to look at see where we've fallen out on that, because sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. It's pretty easy to see where your traffic is on these changes. But we'll look at those queries to see where things have changed. And they've made it easier when you get to do search results to be able to say, this is hateful, I don't like this, this is racist, this is fake news, this is harmful, dangerous. You can actually flag stuff on their site. So it's pretty cool. So they're trying to build transparency into their search products. So I have more information about this linked up in the show notes. Over in Universe Today, they had a pretty cool video. You know, you and I, we only have so many seconds left on this world, and hours and minutes and days, and, you know, we're all headed toward a destiny that ends up with us departing and being either buried, cremated, or plowed down, or whichever way you decide to be taken care of after you have passed away. So what happens 2.4 million years from now is of little consequence to all of us. We will be pixie dust by then. But they did some simulation. The European Space Agency is doing some predictions on star movement. And there's a video that shows 2 million stars and what happens to them over the next 2.5 million years and how they move. And as far as the first data release of the European Space Agency's Gaia mission, Gaia is a space observatory parked at the L2 Lagrange point, a stable point in space 1 million miles behind Earth, as viewed from the sun. Its mission is to basically look at the sky and to map and see what happens to over 1 billion astronomical unit stars, and create a three-dimensional map of the Milky Way. So this is a pretty cool video that they've come up and shows what's going to happen over the next 2.5 million years. It's cool, but you're going to get about 30 seconds of it, and you're going to be like, okay, that's enough. So the link will be up in the show notes on this. Hey, Mike. Well, hey, I'm glad I'm back. I'm not sniffling. Mike Dell said he caught a little bit of a bug. My voice, the only thing that's going on for me from NAB, to be honest with you, is that Friday night, I was out on this, on Fremont Street, and I had to go back to the hotel. The noise pollution, there were so many bands playing, and it was hitting me from both sides. It just kind of got like, I've had enough. and went back to the hotel room and basically watched some TV Friday night, just because I'd had enough of the just this massive influx of sound. And the hotel room was really the only place to escape it, because when you're a casino, ding 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 ding, you know, hearing all that. So that's the only thing about Vegas, is the noise pollution is intense. I could not be a table dealer, a bartender. There's no way I could work in that atmosphere day in and day out without going insane, to be quite honest. So, you know, a little bit in, you know, but Saturday night, I was fine. I was able to hang out and do good, but just Friday, I'd had enough. And that was my only real reaction. But be honest with you, a lot of washing hands. The Sony folks were not talking about their NEB trucks being stolen. I asked. They said nothing. I was in their booth. Looked like everything was there. Didn't see anything look out of the ordinary. But I did ask. They said nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Little news about SpaceX. SpaceX has launched a United States spy satellite today, and they nailed the launch. They nailed the landing. The National Reconnaissance Office did request that they shut down the live video for 2 or 3 minutes, largely probably to protect the orbit and anything that may have been seen by the video when they're deploying the satellite, but. From all indications, they made orbit and they put it where it needs to be. And then they had some cool reentry video that's something I've never seen before. So this is awesome. It's awesome to watch the reentry of the first stage. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you today to take a peek at. All right, the weirdest thing I've seen today in the news, this is bizarre. I mean, this is on the weirdo 10 scale. And it's been reported by the folks at CNET. A robot journalist was doing reporting for the Chinese news agency. This eerie video, a humanoid robot interviews the founding executive editor of Wired magazine. Now, first of all, this dude from Wired has never used Skype before, because it's got this, I mean, really bizarre camera angle. First of all, him on the screen was weird to begin with. And then they got this robot that's standing in the frame and doing an interview with this dude. Yeah, I'm serious. A journalist that are on television, you don't have to worry about your jobs as of yet. This was a freak factor number 10. A beautiful and smart Chinese human robot, Jai Jai Jaya, says hi. It's the weirdest thing I've seen all day, and him agreeing to this interview and the way they had him positioned and camered up. Horrible. You see part of his mouth being cut off. It's just odd. Really, really odd. Also, apparently last week, and I missed this, hackers had demanded that Netflix pay them a ransom or they would release the as-yet-unreleased fifth season of Netflix hit show Orange is the New Black. Netflix didn't pay the ransom. So, basically, these hackers went ahead and leaked the entire season online. According to a new report, the hackers may have stolen 36 other TV shows. Databreaches.net reports that it received a preview of the stolen shows from the hacking group that goes by the Dark Overlord. The shows were swiped from Larson Studios, may include popular titles like Portlandia, New Girl, NCIS, Los Angeles, and many more. The list of leaked content also includes the YouTube Red Original movie, XXX, Return of Xander Cage, and even Netflix Bill Nye's Save the World. The hacking collective's objective here is to seek ransom from the companies affected if they don't want their content to be leaked. So Netflix did not pay up, so the entire fifth season of Orange is the New Black was leaked online. The online streaming chat said that the authorities are now involved and the investigation's underway. So think about the millions of dollars that Netflix potentially lost by the leak of this media. And I just wonder if that studio is going to be held responsible for poor security. Talk about, the absolute way to have your business destroyed. Those of your Mac users, there's some malware out there. It's called MacDoc, D-O-K. It's the first major scale Trojan. I find this amusing a little bit, actually. Malware raiders generally tend, of course, to target Windows as their largest number of potential victims are, but Mac users have, had a little bit of a free ride for a while, but no more. You want to keep your eye out for the MacDoc malware, and you won't know you have it unless you've got some protection on your machine. Researchers at Checkpoint discovered the MacDoc malware that's being spread through phishing emails. The email tricks users into downloading zip files, which when launched enables the malware to gain control of the system. Attackers then can intercept the victim's internet traffic and even impersonate websites. When they're done, they can remove the malware remotely. Since this is an attachment-based malware, you won't infect your system just by opening your email. Again, you have to download the attachment, unzip it to actually open the door to hackers. So just don't download any attachments to email that you don't know who it's from, okay? Also, for those of you that have Android devices, how many of you hand your phone to your kids to, like, keep them entertained? My phone goes to my kid to, like, do text messages for me as I'm dictating as we're driving down the road. But your Android van has a built-in child-proofing feature so that they won't delete stuff. And this is for the little ones that may, try to remove something off the screen and not knowing there's a way to lock that. So you can pin your screen lock. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, if you live in Manchester by the Sea, you're getting hooked up. Amazon's sending a gift box to every Manchester by the Sea this week. The company sent a press release. Customers receive a code that claim their one-year Prime membership and a three-pack of Wickedly Prime popcorn. The town has about 5,000 residents, although it looks like the gift box is restricted to one per household. And so Manchester by the Sea coming to Prime on May 5th, and they get a free Amazon Prime membership for 1 year. With the folks at Apple saying that their new Mac Pro is more than a year away, a lot of people are talking about Hackintoshes. Hackintoshes used to be huge, but I did not realize that Hackintoshes were really kind of making a huge comeback. And Apple has been pretty lenient on Hackintoshes. And I just didn't realize people were building their own machines. So, yes, it is possible. And again, Hackintoshes are standard PCs that runs the Mac OS, and you can do pretty much anything you want. And I think it's pretty awesome. And they basically show how you can take a Mac Pro case and stuff all the gear in it, and just you can build a cool machine, a high powered gaming machine and everything. And a lot of instructions on how to do it and drivers and you name it, that it's, again, technically against the rules, but Apple doesn't seem bothered by it. Must be not enough people do it to make a difference. But it seems like Hackintoshes are making a return, largely because Apple's been so slow in updating the Mac Pro. Today, Canada and Switzerland remain on the U.S. pirate watch list under the current administration. The Office of United States Trade Representatives published its yearly special three report highlighting countries that failed to live up to U.S. copyright protection standards. Effective enforcement of IP rights is a core issue for the Trump administration, which keeps Canada and Switzerland among the two dozen countries that are on the watch list. So I have a link up to the show notes if you want to check that out and see who's on. And does this really do anything? I don't think so. Android 7.0 is now available for those of you that have a Samsung Galaxy X7 Edge that is unlocked via smart switch, so you're able to update to Android 7.0 for those of you that have a Galaxy S7 Edge. my son this afternoon, when he got home, if we got home from soccer, and in between the time we were getting ready to have dinner, he said to me, he said, Dad, I'm going in to make a video and putting up on my YouTube channel. I'm up to, he told me the number 33 subscribers or something like that. I thought, okay, great. And so I laughed when I found this article that Kirk had found for me today. It's 6 ways to actually make money playing video games. Number 1, live stream. Number 2, guides. Number 3, podcast or videos of gaming. Number 4, competitive gaming. Number 5, game journalism. Number 6, game testing. And of course, that's probably the one where you'll make the most. But link will be up in the show notes on that. If you have want a future in gaming, I've got a League of Legends legend here in the house. I don't think he's going to make any money playing League of Legends, but who knows? Sony has announced 60 million PlayStation 4s were shipped. Can Microsoft catch up? That is the question. It's a pretty big number. And the companies, again, shipped 60 million PlayStations, $399 at Amazon. The company also sold 2.9 million devices in the past 3 months, up from 2.3 devices shipped in the same period last year. So we'll see where this goes. These new, of course, there's some new consoles coming from Sony and Microsoft. So we'll see where this all leads. But I'm not in the arms race to buy new gaming consoles because only my kids use them. So I've been poo-pooing for a while the AirPods. So when I was at NAB, I saw a lot of people using them. And a fellow that I trust, that I've known for many years, he talked to me about his utilization of AirPods and how he was absolutely in love with his AirPods. And I just like, okay, how good, you know, we're here in this noisy hallway. I said, you know, call my phone, leave a voicemail. So he called my phone. I didn't answer it, left a voicemail. A little bit later in the day when I was somewhere where I could listen to it back, I listened and it had fantastic noise isolation, better than I would have ever imagined. So are any of you using the AirPods? If you are, I want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a very expensive set of earbuds, but you know, people are making all kinds of accessories for them. Elgato, E-L-A-G-O is making a charging stand for AirPods. You know, sometimes the accessory stuff gets a little crazy, but you know, it's available for $10.99 on Amazon. But how many of you had good experience with these new AirPods from Apple? On my way back from San Francisco, I was sitting beside a guy who works for NVIDIA, and we were talking about graphics cards, and talking about GPUs and where things are headed. And he specifically works, even though he works for NVIDIA, he works with Nintendo. He spends at least a week in Japan every year, basically being the liaison between Nintendo and NVIDIA. So I was kind of dogging him a little bit about the Nintendo NES Classic, that there never was enough of them that were going around for sale, and we kind of laughed about that a little bit. But he was basically talking about their latest product and how they're doing, and what really is happening on the graphics side with NVIDIA and some of the stuff that's going on with artificial intelligence and just heavy duty processing of, you know, what these GPUs are able to do. It's an exciting time for the entire computing space and what's going to be accomplished with, you know, you've got these graphic cards that you can do incredible amounts of fast calculations, tie that to a super fast processor, and you've got a supercomputer on your hands. But it was an interesting discussion with him for about the 30 minutes or so we talked before we took off. And then both of us did the, some combat nap across the pond. But And anyway, I found an article today that links up talking about the NES Classic and their shortage and what's going on there. I'll have that linked up in the show notes as well. Ars Technica has a great hit piece on Verizon on their bizarre claim that the FCC isn't killing net neutrality rules. It just really goes into a lot about what we know already. You know, Verizon opposed net neutrality before Title II. You know, Verizon claims it supports the core of net neutrality rules around that forbids ISPs from blocking, throttling, or prioritizing internet content in exchange for a payment, while opposing only the use of the FCC common carrier or Title II authority to enforce those rules. And with the FCC commissioner rolling back Title II, you know, Verizon's pretty giddy right now. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to take a look. Those of you that don't think that there is going to be impact from this, this is a good piece for you to look at, because I know some of you are in favor of some of this rollback. Because I've, you know, I've heard from some of you privately that have said that. So link will be up in the show notes for you to at least get an additional opinion. What's going on? My stream supposedly has ended on Facebook. What's up with that? Why did my stream end? Huh. Am I still live on YouTube? Nothing. I'm dead. I am dead in the water. I am. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Huh. My in quarter failed. Well, I am off the air. We are here without the live audience. Isn't that interesting? Okay, well, we're still up on live stream. So much for that working out well today. 10 things we learned about tunnels and Tesla from Elon Musk's TED interview. And this guy's, man, he's got some thoughts. He wants us to put us 200 or 300 feet underground on concrete highways, building tunnels, and put us on sleds that will get us around on electric tracks. Yes, he's got some crazy ideas. He wants to get the traffic off the road and drop us underground. I don't know how much this is going to cost or how much this is going to work, but that's his vision. Also, if you like products at Griffin.com, 20% off site-wide at Griffin with code for Mother's Day. There's a deal alert. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, MIT has developed an app that measures walking speed with wireless signals to detect health problems. So they do something called WIGAIT, WIGAIT. It measures walking speed, which can help predict potential health issues by analyzing wireless signals. It is reportedly more accurate than a wearable such as a Fitbit or GPS via phone. The device supposedly could help develop health-aware smart homes. So, I'll let you guys dig into that one a little bit deeper. Also, if you go overseas, you know piracy is running absolutely crazy. But if you're in Ethiopia, all you got to do is plug a USB stick into a kiosk and select the movies you want to download, and for about $1, you can fill that USB stick up with all kinds of, all kinds of movies. And it just goes to show you that piracy is still alive and well. And it's a beautiful little kiosk by a company. And but it was at an Ethiopian Walmart, which is the equivalent of a Walmart. But the ATM style machine has a monitor where customers can pick out a movie. And they were between 13 and 22 cents per movie. Single songs were available for 13 cents, as were TV show episodes. So these have been available for about a year. So interesting. Apparently the person that runs this company, all he does is go out on torrent sites and grabs data and is able to update them. So entrepreneur at work in Ethiopia, 13 cents a movie. over on Slashdot, there's a report that Taser will be using police body cam videos to anticipate criminal activity. So with an estimated one-third of all police departments using body cams, police officers have been generating millions of hours of video footage, which has been loaded onto sites such as evidence.com. And so Taser is now going to be taking that and analyzing that video to come up with basically scenarios where it says, okay, I've seen this before, and there's about to happen criminal activity, and it'll alert the officer. So this is kind of interesting what they're going to do. We'll see where this leads as time goes on. Hey, the Met put a post up on Geek News Central, Wizard World Free Comic Book Day on May 6th. Talks about where you can get free comic books, whether it be in Philly, Sacramento, Columbus, Orlando. All these free days are linked up. I'm not very familiar with this event, but Matt put this up on Geek News Central, so that's an article that you can check out. Also, the president is launching a new tech group to transform and modernize the U.S. government. This is interesting. He tends to huddle with top technology executives in early June to discuss ways to modernize the federal government's IT sector. You know, when I was in the Navy, we had this system called NMCI, and I called that non-mission capable internet. It was horrible. I mean, absolutely horrible. He's got a lot of work to do to try to update the tech in the federal government. It's just not an easy process. The legacy, the security, everything. It's just simply ridiculous, to be honest with you. Also, a good report out on the New York Times talking about the tipping point for Amazon when it comes to clothes and how it's really starting to impact big companies like Macy's and so forth on how they're really selling a lot of clothes online, designer clothes, everything else. But I think that what we're finding is that Amazon is facing hurdles largely because of, you know, they get clothes that don't fit. They have to be sent back. But they're really working towards the point where you can stand in front of a scanner, be scanned, and then Amazon will know your exact dimensions to be able to, you know, recommend clothing for you. And with a liberal return policy, they could really transform shopping even more than they already have. Because what do we all do now for clothes? Most of us want to try it on. But if you can have four or five outfits sent to you from the comfort of your home, you get them, you try the ones on, and send the ones you don't want back. Pretty smart. Apple is about to announce a cash reserve exceeding $250 billion. That's more than the market value of both Walmart, Procter & Gamble put together. It's even greater than foreign currency reserves held by the United Kingdom and Canada combined. It's a safe assumption that Apple Cash Pal, they feel, has crossed over $250 billion, and they were putting in about $3.6 million an hour in the final 3 months of 2016. So imagine that. What are they going to do with that cash? They need to start buying some stuff. Microsoft Edge browsers updates are going to be separated from Windows 10 updates, so they're going to be able to update new security updates to the Edge a lot faster than what maybe the actual standard operating system updates will come at you. Also, Netflix's 4K streaming previewed with NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 10 cards. Initially, when they launched the GTX 10 series in May of 2016, that the new graphics card had support for Netflix, but because of DRM requirements, it made it next to impossible for PC users to stream content in 4K. But they've made some updates that a 4K Netflix technology previews live. It made the announcement quietly by adding an article on its customer support portal. Customers who have the right hardware and software configuration can now stream 4K content from Netflix on their PCs via the Netflix Windows 10 app and the Microsoft Edge browser. And that GTX 10 card is about a $400 video card. Yahoo Finance has leaked pictures of a Fitbit's upcoming smartwatch, and it's a mock-up. So I have that link up in the show notes if you're a Fitbit fan. Also, NBC Universal Channel confirmed for Hulu's live TV streaming service. Hulu today confirmed that it signed an agreement with NBC Universal to bring its channels to the new streaming service, include NBC Telemundo, NBC Sci-Fi E, as well as MSNBC and CNBC News Networks. Hulu will soon afford a complete TV package for under $40 a month. So don't have the full list of channels, but there's a couple there that I could do without, specifically MSNBC. If you have a Nexus phone, just be aware that they are really starting to announce dates for end of guaranteed security updates. If you have anything older than a Nexus 5, they've already stopped doing updates. So, for example, the Nexus 6P, September 2018, Nexus 5X, September 2018, Nexus 9, October of this year, Nexus 6, October of this year. All of the other ones they're done. They're not doing any more security updates. So just be aware of that if you have some of the Nexus products, all right? The mother of Wi-Fi. Did you know that an actress, a 1933 black and white Czech Austrian movie called Ikatase or Ecstasy, which was first exhibited in a German art museum earlier this year, featured a absolute Hollywood bombshell who was not only a famous actress, she came up with some wartime inventions that earned her the title of Mother of Wi-Fi. Let's see here. What is her name? Lamar is her name. Last name, I guess. Heidi Lamar. And seeing a picture of her, she's absolutely beautiful. But she designed basically a RF hopping signal that the Navy used for radio guided torpedoes and to help avoid enemy interference during World War II. So she's actually the one that was basically credited with the mother of Wi-Fi. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Interesting documentary on the Engadget website. All right, a little more information on net neutrality blowback. I'll have that up in the show notes. Airbnb has agreed to register all hosts in San Francisco. I think we heard that last week before I left, so I'll skip that. The Chinese government is recruiting 20,000 people to create an online encyclopedia that will be the country's own China-centric version of Wikipedia, or as one official put it, the Great Wall of Culture. Great Wall of Propaganda, I am sure. So the Chinese Encyclopedia is not a book, but it's a Great Wall of Culture. Yang Muji, the editor-in-chief of the project and chairman of the book and the periodical's distribution associated with China, said he added that China was under pressure for the international community to produce an encyclopedia that will guide and lead the public and society. So 20,000 people will be probably paid slave wages to write this Wikipedia equivalent in China. Facebook is doing some in-app store loyalty programs. So if you are in a store and see a Facebook QRC code and you scan it with your phone, I guess you're going to be getting some rewards. So just be available with that. I'll have that information up and link in the show notes. If you've got a Samsung Galaxy S8, they're basically seeing some screen burn-in issues. So keep aware of that. And if you're seeing burn-in issues, you may want to take your phone back and have it replaced. Also, there's news out that the Apple Watch is having some challenges in major app developers quietly pulling their support for the device. According to reports, it's been noticed that major apps such as Google Maps has dropped support for Apple Watch. There's no mention as to whether Google plans on eventually reinstating it, but it's just one of many that have disappeared from the App Store. Even having Google app, I don't use the thing very much at all. I really, really don't. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. LG has its newest 4K monitor, and they basically put four displays in one and a 42.5-inch panel. It looks pretty slick. Let me see what the price on this bad boy is. According to ANN Tech, the 43UD79B goes on sale in Japan on May 19th for about $745 US. But order pages started showing up in the United States for a hair under 700. But it's a 42.5-inch UHD panel with 3840 by 2160 resolution, plus a range of gaming and productivity-focused features on its face. The IPS panel with a 1,000-to-1 contrast ratio, wide angle of 178 degrees viewing, and over 1.07 billion covers, although its 60 hertz refresh rate won't quite stack up against the latest gaming monitors. The system does boast a game mode black stabilizer and navigation sync mode, so it might be a monitor that you'll want to look into, and looks like for a decent price for a 4K monitor. Intel is patching a remote execution hole that's been hidden in business servers since 2008. For the past 9 years, millions of Intel workstation server chips have harbored a security flaw that can potentially be exploited to remotely control and infect systems. So they basically, in their Intel's Active Management Technology Manageability, they've issued a standard manageability and small business firmware version to update this. So if you have any Intel business machines, they need to be updated. So I'll have a link up the show notes. So this has been out there for a while. So they list the different cores that have the problem. The short version is every Intel platform with AMT, ISM, and SBT from Nehalem in 2008 to KB Lake in 2017 has this security issue. So again, I'm not familiar with these business offerings. I am familiar with the chips. Link will be up in the show notes on that for those of you IT guys that may have a problem. Sirius XM has acquired connected car company Automatic for over $100 million. So I thought it was initially they had acquired Automatic, the WordPress creator, but that wasn't the case. So Sirius is definitely looking at connected car stuff deeper. AMD, boy oh boy. Revenues of $984 million were up 18% from the year ago. The boasted sales weren't enough to get AMD out of the red. Net losses for the quarter was $73 million. That's better than a year ago and was $109. Non-GAAP loss per share was $0.04. And they feel that they'll be on the road to profitability next quarter, but doesn't smell good for AMD at all. And I'm a big AMD fan. I like the underdogs, even though I own stock in Intel. IAC to buy Angie's List in a deal valued at over $500 million. IAC Interactive Corp agreed to buy consumer recommendation website Angie's List, intending to combine the business with its own HomeAdvisor online review network and create a new publicly traded company. So congratulations, $500 million acquisition. Are you a vegan? You can now drink Guinness, but only from a keg. I didn't know vegans couldn't drink beer out of a can. The drinking vegan must live a life of constant vigilance, though beer and wine themselves rarely contain any animal products or byproducts, are often filtered using fish bladders to remove yeast and other solids. Fortunately, Guinness is moving away from this practice, and vegans can now enjoy a pint of the stout in the comfort of their favorite pub. So I guess that's going to the extreme, but that's what they're announcing out of the folks from Guinness. All right, so we're down here to the end. I'm already long. Let me go to the comments. Let's see here. Let me look at the date on this. Yeah, no, I already read that one. But hey, we're going to bounce. Also, here's the three guys got to remember. We got a contest going, right? So what did I cause you to purchase? And what was the favorite show moment? Okay, you remember those are the two topics and emails to geeknews@gmail.com. So what did I cause you to purchase from the show? And what was your favorite show moment? Two separate emails, two separate $100 cash winners. Definitely send an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone, thanks for being here. And we'll be back on Thursday, kind of back in the regular swing of things. But until next time, everybody take care. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. Everyone, see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.